All right, everyone. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Cerulean
Raw.
Welcome back to another episode of Cerulean Raw. I'm here with my Rootin' Tootin' partner. If you guys would like to say hi.
Howdy, everyone. My name is Jamsey. I play Nanette Silkenthorn. And, you?
What? Me?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Howdy, I'm Crow. I play Mucko with Patrick.
Alright, that's good. Alright, let's keep going. Alright.
Let's get rooting.
I keep forgetting to introduce myself. I'm Danny. I'm the DM of Cerulean Raw. I'm also known as Jarred Monkeys. I'm right here. Let's get right into the recap.
And on the last session of Cerulean Roll, our heroes fought a hard battle against a horde of skeletons that came fumbling down the hill. We witnessed the entrance of Tirith, a cleric who was traversing the roads and also protecting Raya. We also witnessed Adric breaking onto his last legs as he fell into a frenzy because of his injuries. Shortly after that frenzy concluded, our heroes
you just got
victorious.
A preview.
Yep, you got a preview, the maniacal laugh. After the battle, Raya, Tirith brought them to the material plane for a brief moment with a fantastical display of healing prayers. She then coaxed the party into giving her a free ride back to town. Our heroes had a somber conversation with Raya before they reached Wildbush once more. They then took a rest in the inn for a night, and in the morning, Tirith once again charmed and coerced our heroes into free breakfast, and they continued on the road with a new friend.
Yay! Extortion!
Extortion!
Yay!
Is there anything else you guys would like to do in the town of Wildbush before you guys fully get into the road? Right now, you just see as Tirith is hopping on the front part of the cart and prepping Autismo for the ride.
I don't think so, personally. Maybe?
Maybe I should buy something.
You want to buy something? What you want to buy? What you want to buy?
I want to get a cookbook.
A cookbook?
Ooh, cookbook!
Very interesting. Okay, cool. You'll be able to stop at the library and pick that right up. I'll say you don't even have to roll for it. You just kind of, you go in, you know what you're looking for. You go for it, you grab it, you got it.
You gotta get.
You get it, you get it.
I get it.
You grip that book. You grip it. You say, you grip it. And you see that it is labeled Rimothy's Cookbook.
Oh. Ooh.
You see that there is also some, like, it's like a little bit peeled. It used to have some imagery on it, but now it's kind of really faded with the elements.
Yeah.
This one old man can't maintain this library very well.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, as you pick up Rimothy's cookbook, you can add that to your inventory.
All right.
And you guys set off on the road once more. The fresh breeze strikes your face and fills you with a sense of adventure once more. As you guys look out of the wagon, you would see that there is that large open field that you guys put all those skeletons in. Once again, there's all those, like, beaten, battered down carts that are laid all around the road. They're in, like, intervals, so they're not that common, but they're there. You also see, occasionally, skeletons that are wandering in the far distance. And if you would like to see anything else, roll me a perception check.
My worst enemy.
And do tell me those numbers.
19.
Oh, right, the glasses give us advantage, right?
Yes, because the sun is out and shining. True. If you are wearing your Kishi glasses, you get advantage.
Well,
yay!
Okay, yeah, the better number is 19.
Okay. See, that's just like with sight for some reason.
Adric, you kind of hesitantly peer outside of the window. You get this like fear that you're going to be blinded with sunglasses on.
Don't you fucking dare. I'm going to look out here and I'm going to see nice things and you aren't going to. Ah!
Okay, if you phrase it like that, yeah, you get blinded through your glasses. Here's how it goes. You like quickly turn your head, the glasses slip off your face, and then a beam of red light just right in your eyes.
I hate the sun.
Coincidental timing that your glasses just so happened to fall off right as you were about to look outside.
I'm saying, this sun has a vendetta towards me.
The sun does appear to hate you specifically.
I'm going to fight the sun.
May is going to lean and take a look.
The sun is to you what autismo is to May.
That's a nat 20.
Oh my!
Holy fuck.
Oh my god! He's seeing!
May looks out the same window that Adric is looking out, doesn't get blinded, and goes, "Hey guys, what's that over there?" And then
he points
into the distance.
What is it?
It looks like a trunk sticking out of the grasses.
A
treasure chest.
Oh.
Huh?
Should we check it out?
I'm not gonna lie to you. Although that makes me very curious, that also makes me very confused as to why that would be out in the open in a place like this.
Well, you do see, once May points it out, that there is a cart collapsed on this side of the road, and it's kind of like a steep downwards hill, sort of like a hill, more like it's like a ditch on the side of the road, and the cart slid into it, and you could presume that the contents of the cart may flood out further. This trunk is barely peeking out of the grasses. It's surrounded by all of this like knee-high tall black grass.
Should we check it out?
I mean, you know what?
Why not? Roll something real quick.
What?
What is he rolling?
Oh, if we do go out there, let's be careful. I think we'll be able to see those things if we're very careful.
Right, the plants.
Yes. Oh, Tirith, do you mind turning around? You guys have, like, gone. She was still driving while you guys were doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Tirith, we saw something. Do you mind stopping the cart for a bit? Tirith just turns back and she goes, "All right. I hope you don't make this a habit." Maybe? Tirith puts the cart in stop and you guys can funnel out of the cart and check out this chest.
Okay.
Is there any way you want to approach this?
Like, what do you mean?
Would you like to be stealthy? Would you like to take your time and investigate the surroundings? Would you like that sort of thing?
I think I want to look around it first. Maybe see if there's anyone, like, around or something, like...
All right, roll me an investigation or perception, your choice.
Maybe whoever owned this cart.
All right, yeah, sure.
Perception. Do I keep rolling with advantage?
Adric, are you helping out, Nanette?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, then roll with advantage.
Well, it's also just because of the glasses.
Oh, if it's perception, then yes, the glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
Okay.
That's a 24.
Oh, Ninette.
Yes. Ninette, you do see an unfortunate sight between the grass. As you guys are walking closer to the cart, you would see this cart has wheels ripped off. It has claw marks dragged into it. It even has arrows splinted into the canvas of this caravan.
Dang.
You would see that there, though the clothes are very torn and sullied with blood, you would notice that this skeleton does look very well dressed. He is wearing this kind of purplish tunic that looks made of silk. You see that there's regalia that is on the body. It doesn't look too valuable. You can kind of assume that whoever found this before you took that. But you would see that there is kind of like insignias, more things of status rather than actual materialistic value on this person. You can very well assume that this was a merchant who got attacked on this road by the very nature of this place at the moment. And in the very same vein, you, with this high perception roll, you do notice that there is a shrieker that is sprouting behind this seat of the cart. You barely see it poking out from this angle, but you notice it.
Oh, I see one of those plants over there.
Oh, those beings.
Perhaps we should take care of it quickly, or
very quickly. Before it dreams, or how close of a radius do we need to be?
Roll me, you know what? Here's what we'll do. Roll me an intelligence check, Adric, and I'll see if you can discern that.
Intelligence. Bonk. 16.
You remember, Adric, when those creatures were annoying the shit out of you, you noticed that their screams seemed to be a chain reaction of noise. They would hear a noise, they would scream, and then all of them would scream hearing each other scream. So you get the sense that these things are more activated by sound. Maybe a little bit louder than a normal talking volume.
So maybe like whispering would work?
Whispering would let you get closer to this thing.
So how should we take care of it?
Well, I mean, I think we can fairly assume from the last situation that they are very much attracted to sound, or if we are just very close to them.
Huh. Well,
I mean, if we're quiet, but considering what we're going to be doing, I don't think we're going to be very quiet.
Yeah, perhaps we take it out now and then check out the chest.
We should probably, like, I don't know, sneak up on it to be as quiet as possible before it decides to make a sound.
Okay. What would you guys like to do then? Just stealth up?
I think so.
So, Adric, if you want to stealth up, roll me
stealth.
Are you
thinking of something?
Yes, Nanette?
I was just going to say, like, oh, that might be a waste. No, I don't think it.
I mean, these things are pretty deadly because of the damage they do and then the skeletons they summon.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, maybe we could just avoid it entirely if I maybe use, like, Pass Without Trace or something.
If you want to use Pass Without Trace and then go open the chest instead, sure.
That's true.
You activate Pass Without Trace, and I want you guys to roll me some stealth checks in that case.
Okay.
May will also be rolling.
So all of us individually?
Yeah, all of you individually.
Okay.
Everyone is going to pass with flying colors. That's a 29 from May.
That's a nat 20 from me.
That's a nat 20 from you. That is a 30 fucking 4. No one is hearing you. But Nanette, you relay this plan to them, to everyone, and you guys sneak forwards towards the chest to just check that out instead. And while you guys are like wading through the grass and kind of keeping your voices to a minimum and really watching your step, you do see that there are two other shriekers around. Just through the breeze blowing, you catch glimpses of these humanoid faces sticking out of the ground. But they don't hear you.
Edric doesn't say anything, clearly, but he's just glaring at them.
you feel that anger bubble up in you. And you guys get to the chest, and you see it is currently, like, flipped on its side. It's a little bit embedded into the ground. You can guess that for whatever reason, it might have just, during the fall, it kind of just sunk itself into the dirt a little bit. But it does look very normal. It just looks like a normal chest. It is this purple lavender style wood with these metallic platings over it, and you see that there's rivets in it and a keyhole.
Oh, pretty.
So who wants to open it?
Good question.
I mean, Nanette, you're currently going ninja mode, so I think you can handle it.
True.
Yeah, I can try my best to ninja mode this chest open.
All right, ninja mode, go!
Okay.
Nanette, you crouch down. I'm gonna say you could just use the same stealth check. Not gonna keep making you roll. You rolled a nat 20. You tried to open this chest, and it seems like through being in the rain, it's a little rusted around the keyhole, around the latches. So I'm gonna have you roll me a little bit of a strength check.
Okay.
Or if you have any other ideas to try to get this thing open, you can go for it.
Where did you say, like, the rust is, like?
Near the keyhole. Basically all the metal parts of this chest. You see, like, even
shutting it even more.
Hinges, yeah, they're rusting it over, kind of keeping it really shut.
Do you think I could maybe, like, try to, like, scratch away at it with, like, a sharp weapon or an arrow or something?
Yes, you can take this arrowhead and scratch away at the rust. I'm gonna have this be a sleight of hand check.
Okay.
Go in the net, go. Let me
check. Okay. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. As you scratch away at this rust, you see as it slowly begins to pick off, it takes a little longer than you want it to. The rust is really set in. But you eventually kind of hear this as you scrape it a little too hard. And the, instead of being so tactful like you wanted to be, it just kind of pops off and open.
Oh, okay.
So the chest isn't intact, but you can get whatever's inside.
Oh.
And as this chest opens, you hear the Zelda sound effect. You
oh my see god.
Da 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 da. But you see, as this chest has quite a pretty penny in it, you see it house not the most money. It has like 150 gold. Still a lot.
Yeah.
But you also see a bag.
A bag.
A bag.
Like a small bag, a big bag, like
it is kind
like
of
a little
like,
pouch or
if I were to give it a description, it is this nearly like a satchel sized bag. It seems like to go around your waist. It has these beautiful leather engravings on it. It has this golden button keeping it shut. The engravings are that of an eagle.
Oh.
Ooh.
What is this?
You pick it up and you just see it's like this just really beautiful bag. It doesn't seem to weigh anything.
Like there's nothing in it?
Do you want to open it?
Sure.
You click it open, and as you open it, you see this beautiful abyss of stars.
Is that a fucking bag of holding?
That's a goddamn bag of holding.
Oh my god.
That's a goddamn bag of holding, guys.
No way.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before.
Have any of them seen something like that?
No.
Then that's just like putting, like, wait. So, like, what?
Bro, roll me a history check to see if you maybe recognize something like this.
I'm just putting my face near it, like.
Oh my god, okay.
Adric, you have seen many a magic items in your day. However, well, not however, you would definitely have seen a couple of bags of holding. They don't always look like this satchel. Some of them look like perhaps a backpack or this large bag like that you throw over your shoulder or even sometimes burlap sacks. You've seen them come in and come out of your home. They are often a magical tool that people like merchants and adventurers take to places because it's easier to carry all of their belongings in this one small bag. So yeah, you know exactly what it is. And you see Nanette nearly sticking her face in it.
Nanette.
Uh-huh.
Do not.
Oh, what? Why? What is it?
But. Oh, no, no. I meant, like, don't put your face in it. I don't think I've ever seen someone's face in it. However, and of course I'm whispering because, you know, the flowers.
Yes, the flowers.
Yeah. Basically, I think I may have seen some of those a few times before. I don't think I've seen one.
Oh.
Like this one, maybe? But they can be in all shapes of bags. So does he know what they do?
You definitely know that they can contain more objects than they look like they can contain.
Mm. Well, from what I've seen, since most, like, merchants and adventurers use them, they're quite useful because they can fit a ton of stuff that you wouldn't really, like, expect them to. Like, if you put a bunch of potions in there, you wouldn't expect it to fit if it was a normal bag, but this is not a normal bag. It's a bag of holding.
Oh, I see.
I think that's why it quite looks useful like that. For you.
I think so. I am carrying a lot of stuff with me.
Yeah, it might help release the burden of those.
Yeah, you're right.
I have a really dumb idea. I have to roll for this.
Oh, God?
Oh?
Give me 1 second.
Guys, what did he mean by this?
Okay, he doesn't, but he really wants to. May was about to stick his whole head in there.
Oh my god!
No!
But instead, he simply puts his hand inside and feels around. I wonder what's in here. And...
May.
Yeah?
What? Why would you...
I don't know. I just want to know. You know?
You know what? That's completely fair. I think I would have done the same thing.
We're having an influence on you.
No!
You were so upset at us after the sword thing, and now this.
But we know what this is! This is a safe bag! This is a safe bag! You cannot compare a safe bag to inviting zombies into the ship!
Okay, but what if you... No. What if you didn't know it was a safe bag beforehand, and you still would have stuck your hand through that?
No, I wasn't gonna do that, but I know it's a safe bag because I waited for you to tell me what the bag was before I put my hand in the bag.
Okay, but you saw that I pushed Nanette's head away from the bag. And you still wanted to put a limb in there.
But I want to know what's in the bag, so I have to look in the bag to know what's in the bag.
Well, do you feel anything?
You...
Hold up. Hold up. There's a... What is that?
What?
Hold up. Give me 1 second. I just...
Bro.
What is this?
What are you touching?
Tirith is probably waiting for this.
You know what? How about we try to do this... On the cot.
Oh, you're right. May pulls it out, his hand out, and he's clutching something.
What?
He's clutching two objects. Hmm? He's clutching a wand and a... it's this... How would I describe this? It is this piece of jewelry wrapped around the wand.
Oh.
It is like a necklace. It's a necklace.
Oh.
Magic wand and drip. Okay, what? We should go back to the car. What?
What did you say?
This is drip.
What?
Oh, right. Drip. The gold.
Wait, what?
There's gold in here also.
Oh, that was less important, but yeah.
Well,
can I have that? I'm so poor.
Yes, you can have it. I'm very sorry to the merchant who previously owned this.
Rest in peace.
We will use it for good, I promise.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't let Callius get that if you say this.
No.
Oh, God.
May stares down at the corpse for a second. You see his, like, gears turning, and then he just goes, no.
Uh-huh.
Mm-mm. And he gets in the cart.
What?
No. Huh?
May, what?
Nope.
What are you what?
Shh,
what?
Shh.
What?
May, okay, you want to do an insight check on May?
Yes.
Yes. What did he mean by this?
What did he mean by this? Oh my god.
Oh my god.
30-20.
May, for a moment, had a very grim look in his eyes, as if he was pondering something of darker intent.
What?
I squint at him.
Yeah! What are you looking at? What are you looking at me like that for?
What were you thinking of doing?
Nothing.
Sounds a little suspicious.
I wasn't being so suspicious.
Considering what? The fact that you couldn't even say that sentence right, I'm believing otherwise.
No.
I know what you...
If I did it, I'd be a hypocrite, so I won't do it.
Excuse me?
He gives a thumbs up.
May.
Hedrick starts walking towards him.
No.
He has his hands on his hips, and he's, like, looking at him, like, with the brow raised.
May scurries into the cart. I'm not being influenced by anyone!
Influenced by who? What were you gonna do?
May, like, hides in the back of the cart.
He's like cornering him.
Okay, I was gonna bring him back to life.
What? Oh my god.
Well, not like life, a, but I... No, like, I was gonna...
Like in a necromancer way, or in like a
yes.
completely... Oh my god. And you complained to me about bringing skeletons with me?
Okay, but wait, but you know, dude, you're...
But now no, you want no, to, no. After you made that promise?
Okay, this one won't kill us, though!
How do you know that?
Because I control him?
Yeah?
Yes! I just... Listen! This is for something I have planned.
You know, if it was a bad person, I would agree. But this is a whole other stranger.
Listen, Adric.
He puts his hand on your shoulder.
I have plans. I have plans far out of this world.
What kind of plans that involve bringing people back to life?
May has a grimace on his face again.
Oh my god. He starts shaking him.
I was maybe gonna have him punch me in the gut.
What?
Why?
I need to train.
So you're going to use a skeleton to train?
Yes.
What exactly are you trying to train?
It's not a cat. When that beast in the forest carried away Callius, during the fight, it kept knocking me out of using fairy fire. I despise that. So I want it to punch me in the gut. The skeleton, that is. While I'm casting spells. Mm-hmm. So I can start to learn to resist that pain and keep casting spells during it. Because currently...
If you put it that way, I think that makes sense.
So do I grab the corpse?
No.
Okay.
We go for the next enemy we find.
Okay. I don't know how those ones will work. That's why I stayed away from them.
Plus, I don't think reviving a skeleton around those shriekers is a good idea.
Well, I was No, you're right.
I don't think they're gonna be sneaky with their little bones clackling.
Well, I was gonna bring him in the bag of holding.
What?
I had to instinctively let out that.
Oh. In the bag?
I was... May's like gesturing with his hands as he's talking.
I was gonna... Take the skeleton, piece by piece, put it in the bag.
Is Tirith hearing this right now?
Tirith is hearing this. Wait, okay, wait. Let me see if Tirith is paying attention.
Oh my god.
This feels highly unethical.
It does.
I will roll to see. May is such a teenager at heart. He's so wood. He is a teenager. That's what he's a little guy.
He's just a little dude.
Okay, let me roll this. Tirith currently isn't hearing it, but you can tell that Tirith would be against this, the thought of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... It makes sense, but it the ethics of it, I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, so first of all, you were gonna steal the body of someone who was dead, and nonetheless someone who was probably innocent? You were gonna turn them into a skeleton?
And then I was gonna bury them.
My god.
He is laying on the road, and none of you wanted to bury him! That says more about all of us than this.
Why are you trying to make this point when you were trying to turn him into a skeleton?
I don't know, I don't know, I don't know!
Put him in a bag!
I don't know! I want to get buff!
You want me to punch you? I'm not very strong.
Meg grabs your muscles. I'm going to make him roll an intelligence score to see how strong you are. He rolled a 17. Wait, Azric, what's your strength score?
I mean...
My strength score is 10.
10? So that's a plus 0?
Yeah.
You would physically not be able to harm May.
I mean, technically speaking, how much stronger would a skeleton be? It's bones. It has no muscle.
Nanette, they can walk around and wield swords. They're pretty strong.
I guess you're right.
You know what? True.
They don't have muscle, but they have magic muscles.
Magic what? Muscles.
Can I have magic muscles?
What?
Something to study.
Okay.
May, muscles and magic. So, do you want to bury that man?
I mean, I was going to in a safer spot when we traveled more.
Well, we're gonna carry him.
I mean, he was gonna walk there. That's why. And he was gonna help me dig his hole.
The more you speak.
Listen! This is...
No.
May grabs your shoulders. I'm a mushroom boy! All I know is death!
Uh-huh.
This is why nobody liked me at home.
Oh,
it's okay,
no,
buddy.
May.
I'm dead.
Yeah, I thought you would get it because you're dead and he's dead and then I'm death, so I'll take him to walk into the grave.
I'm sure
you
otherwise,
know what, I think this
you
is
know,
enough.
You May's know, hair nature has got... would do its part, and, you know, decomposition.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know more about that stuff than I do.
I do. It takes quite a while for bones to decompose.
This is a morbid conversation we've been having.
It is.
May just, like, grabs both of your shoulders.
Huh. I am not strange.
You are. That's okay. All of us are.
We can... Yeah, that's true. We're all a little strange, I think.
All right. Well, maybe I can use that instead. But then how ethical is that?
What?
How ethical is what?
I feel like what I was planning to do was more ethical than the other thing I had to maybe do to do this.
What other plan did you have?
What?
I'm really adamant about helping you guys. That's why I'm going this far.
You know, that's completely fair.
I was going to...
What?
I don't know if I should say it anymore. Tirith drive! No. Okay. I have... the ability to commune with nature, and it goes deeper into realms like the Beast Realm and the Fey Wilds.
Oh.
And I was perhaps, maybe, going to grab a spirit from the Fey Wild.
Oh, my God.
And summoning magic is real. And summoning magic, nobody ever questions the ethics of summoning magic. And now I feel weird that I am questioning the ethics of summoning magic, because people use summoning magic, but then you think about it, that this creature had to come from a place. Tira starts driving.
Oh. He just gets knocked back.
Yeah, May falls over. And he just...
Oh no. Alright, come sit down.
He sits down. May feels embarrassed. His cheeks are red.
Oh!
It's okay, buddy. I think we get the idea of why you're trying to make all these happen.
Yeah,
I just want to help!
You know.
Well, try whatever you need to do. I don't know.
Now I have to think about the ethics and morals of summoning magic.
You could probably write, like, a book about that or something.
It'll become critically acclaimed, and wizards will hate me.
May imagines his face on a billboard, and it just says wizards hate this guy, and it's a picture of May.
Find out his secret now.
Find out his secrets.
But also, May, are you okay?
What?
I mean, that part you so casually said about everyone hating you at home, like...
Yeah, actually, you're right.
May pauses. Full stop.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
Yeah, you don't have to. But if you want to, you know, we're here.
I suppose I can say a little. I grew up around people who did the very, very opposite of what I can do. Well, I am this,
and he looks at his hands,
what they would call an embodiment of death. They were all druids who can control dreams. They could enter dreams, control them. They lived this fantastical life outside of what we live in. But I couldn't do that.
And May, like, grasps onto his own pants.
I couldn't separate real life from a dream. I couldn't separate the thought of death from my mind. And in the end, I delved into it more than anyone could. Around me, at least.
And he just kind of grits his teeth.
They all called me a monster for what I could do.
Oh, May, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It's fine. I just don't really want to think about it anymore.
It's all right. I understand.
May, like, looks out of the window very wistfully after that conversation.
Mm.
And if you want to roll, like, any insights on May, you very much can.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
I will not be good at this, but we both.
Oh, no.
Immediately proved my point.
Oh, my God.
Oh, on both of us.
Oh, yeah. Both of us are not very good.
Both of you try to look a little deeper into May's expression, and all you can see is that resounding feeling of, like, pain. It just seems like he's hurt, and he wants to avoid that hurt.
Can we hug him?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hug May.
Guys, let's hug him.
Are we hugging him? We're hugging him.
Yeah, you both give a hug to May, and May hugs you back.
I promise it's not a big deal. It's just something I don't like to think about.
I mean, considering that's something you don't like to think about, I'm pretty sure it's quite a big deal, if not to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. You're feeling smarter to us. You're pretty much our friend.
He takes an exhale and just rests his head on your shoulder a little bit.
Thank you.
Of course, mate.
And May, like, looks up awkwardly. Did you know I can talk to plants?
Oh,
can you talk to the Shriekers?
What?
Can you talk to the Shriekers? The things that scream in the grass that irritate me.
Oh, I could try.
I don't think that's a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
Because they might, yes, that's not. But if you could, and they didn't scream, I would have hoped that you would have called them several curse words for me.
I'll do it next time if they're already screaming at us.
You know what? Good enough.
All right.
Nice. Cursing at nature.
Have you ever actually used it before?
No. I just... Last night in the inn, I just was doing my usual thing, late night observation. And I felt a great sense of death being violated by that vial that Eldorus brought to me. I studied it extensively before, but I just had a breakthrough in the room last night. And something like that is alarming, to say the least.
Oh.
Yeah.
And as you guys end this conversation, is there anything else you would like to do?
Now that we have the time, I think it's time for us to start reading our books.
Time to read books.
Book.
Hooray! Ooh.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Marvelous.
All right.
Wonderous.
Sharpshooter.
Do you still want to practice sharpshooter?
Sure.
Okay, you can practice sharpshooter, and let me handle Adric's reading.
All right,
Adric, roll... Well, you don't have to roll pretty much anything for this yet. Are you looking into?
I think first I'm going to start looking at the book about the... I think it was, like, the undead creatures, was it? Or was it just, like, in general?
It was a bestiary about the undead.
A bestiary, yes.
All right, roll me an investigation check to open this book and start reading it.
Yippee! Okay.
Oh.
Okay. You're looking specifically for what? Are you just, like, flipping through the book?
I'm looking for anything that might have similarities to Aldoris, since that's the main reason we got this book.
All right. You look through the pages, and you see that there are a couple of things that might be similar to what Aldoris is, but they never quite land on specifically his deal. You see things like wraiths, you see things like just normal spirits, you see ghost, you see revenant, and you know, you like read it, and then you are like, yes, this is Aldoris, but there is something off about this with it being Aldoris. And as you look into this, you see that revenant are creatures, spirits born from hate, usually chasing down their killer until their very last breath. But that's all. They are motivated by revenge for revenge and don't stop until that revenge is taken care of. You know Aldoris to be able to focus on other things than revenge. While a majority of his thought process is, I want to kill Delir, he wouldn't be doing other things if he was specifically a revenant. And then this other thing really catches your eyes and then jogs a memory. You see that it says revenants are able to locate their target no matter what plane they're on, no matter what location they're at. You cannot hide from a revenant. And then you remember the first day you met Aldoris. He said something along the lines of he can't track his target.
Wait, but if he were a revenant, then why can't he do either both of these?
Do you say that out loud?
Yeah.
Huh?
The thing, I was looking at this book, trying to find something about Aldoris, and you know, he's supposed to be a revenant, right?
Is he?
I thought so. I mean, most of these things check out. I mean, he fully is here because he hates and wants to kill Delir, but they can immediately track down their mark, and then they can also they can't do anything else. It's just all going after that person. He's not able to. Yeah, the first time I met him, he doesn't know. And he was also able to do stuff with us, while also keeping that hatred. Then what is he? That's something to think about, I think.
Yeah, definitely. That's strange. Got so close to an answer, but there's still more questions.
Right.
What makes him different?
Yeah.
Maybe he's not fully dead, or... No, I don't think that's it.
I don't know. I mean, he was able to fly.
He's also transparent. Semi-transparent.
He's very much transparent.
Yeah. I also am not sure how someone can only be half dead.
But also, wasn't he able to take damage from not magical weapons?
You would see that normally revenants, it says that in the book, it says that they can typically only be harmed by magical weapons or magic itself.
See, even in the book, it states that. So, how...
Wait, so is he not fully dead?
Is he not?
Because he's not completely ghost-like.
But that is... That is... He is transparent, and he can fly, and he can heal himself through hate.
But still, yeah. He only has some of the traits of a revenant, and not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
No average person can just track someone down just by pure instinct.
Yeah. I wonder if there was possibly more in the book, or if this is something that's just very peculiar and rare.
Adric, you look into the book also, and you would see that revenants typically are even allowed to kill people who get in their way. They are allowed to cause harm to other beings as well. And I'm going to say that's all you get on revenants. That's pretty much all there is on revenants in this book.
Yeah.
They're creatures that aren't... They don't occur very often, because not very often do people fill themselves with so much rage to defy death.
Yeah.
But in the circumstances recorded in history, especially in a plane like Shadowfell, this does appear to happen occasionally enough to be written about.
Yeah. Somewhere like this, it's fair.
Is there anything else you would like to look for in the book?
I feel like now that we've made those investigations, maybe something that's similar to that, or just something that is similar to being half dead.
All right. I'm gonna say roll me another investigation check and I'll see what you get.
Yeah. Please!
Oh.
And maybe. Let me know that number.
16.
16. You would see things that are typically considered to be half dead are things you would expect to be there. Not anything very close to what a revenant is. Even in raw appearance, Eldorus doesn't match up with any of these. You look at zombies, you look at vampires. You look at mummies and skeletons and even liches. There's nothing. They're not similar. Most of these creatures have a corporeal body. And they're not transparent. They're not ghastly. They're not ghost.
What in all... What are you, Eldor?
I wonder if there's more to the story of his death than all that he told us. Not to say that he was lying, but...
Yeah.
Not I just to say wonder so, but what just... all the blank spots are. Like...
Yeah.
How did he end up where you found him, or... I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless he's just a rare case, but...
Right. And in that case...
He feels more on the living end than most revenants.
Mm-hmm.
Strange. Maybe we can find out more about it eventually. There's got to be more books on the undead somewhere.
True.
That also makes me wonder about the noose. When I first saw it, I thought that might have been something to do with his death, but it wasn't even brought up when he was talking about it to us.
True. Though I think we know it holds him back, but why would... What is the reason for a noose in specific, or just...
Why was it
As in
there?
General, who put it on him? There's a lot to think about.
Quite. And I'd say, at that point, if you guys want to keep brainstorming and talking about it, you very much can. I will welcome it with open arms. But if you want to...
You know, like,
to,
if you want to theorize or something, like,
I'm here for it. But yes, if you guys would like to theorize more about it, you very much can. However, if you would want to just do some other things, we can.
I'm guessing the another best way to possibly find out answers is by asking Eldoris directly.
True.
I don't know. It's all very confusing.
Oh, very much. I mean, I hope we can find him, but... That's quite a subject to touch on.
I'm sure we'll talk about it with him eventually.
Yeah.
And Adric, as you close up this book and put it back in your pack, we can move on to Nanette's training, if you guys would like.
Yay!
All right.
Adric, since Nanette it was involved in... you guys talked about the book. I'll say, while she is training, you can pull out another.
Ooh, book.
But, you know, before that...
You know, well,
Book. But before that, Nanette, you can, what are you doing to train?
So, I don't know, I was thinking of maybe, like, trying to get, like, on top of the cart.
Oh, you want to get on top of the cart? Yeah, sure. That's pretty easy for you. I'm not even going to have you roll for it. You can squeeze out of the window and very nimbly get on top of this cart. Adric, you see as the canvas droops on where Nanette's standing.
Sorry, I'm about to do my training. Well, try at least.
Oh, good luck.
All right, what am I gonna hit?
You look around, and you see there's the very apparent things to shoot at, which are the skeletal beasts that are roaming around this grasslands. And I know we talked about this not during the session. However, I do want to clarify. Right now, you guys are just in a grassy field. that segment where you start to see the forest creep up is in a couple days or so.
Oh.
Yeah. That's when you'll be able to see into the forest. But right now, all you see are those skeletons wandering the field.
I see. So those would probably be the best target. At the same time, though, I don't want to bring them towards us. I don't know.
You can guess if you hit, you'll kill them pretty quickly.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Alright, I'll try it.
Alright. No pressure, though. Oh. If you don't feel like you want to do this right now, you don't have to.
I mean, I am trying to do more damage anyway, so, like...
Alright. Then, Nanette. Roll the hit.
Okay. So I remove like 5 from this, right?
Yes, it's -5, and then you get a +10 bonus to your damage if you hit.
Okay.
And do tell me your rolls.
Oh boy. That's a 9.
That is a 9. That 9 is unfortunately not gonna hit. You aim your arrow straight and true. And, Nana, roll me a d8.
What the heck?
And let me know the result of that as well.
6. Oh, no.
What does that mean?
Oh, no.
What does that mean?
Nana.
Oh, no.
Insult the skeleton.
What?
What?
Insult the skeleton.
Excuse me?
You feel as words as begin to bubble up in your throat, filling your mind. You kind of feel, it's like this gushing urge of disdain.
Oh my god.
Your head has caved in.
Ooh.
Okay, what? You say your head's caved in? Roll me 1d4. That's 2. You see the skeleton, the fung, not the skeleton itself, but the fungus inside the skeleton goes, ah! As it lets out this pathetic weak noise, you feel like you did something to it.
It just came over me. What just happened?
I've never heard you do say something like that.
So funny. Sorry, I just felt a really strong urge to insult this thing. I don't know why.
That is so funny. Okay, roll me to hit again.
For someone like that makes it even funnier.
I know, that's why I laughed so hard when I got that number. That's a...
Yeah.
How much is that?
16.
16, that will hit the skeleton that you did 2 damage to. And that is going to be 19 damage.
Oh my god.
Absolutely. Unequivocally blows this thing up. You shoot it right through the eye, you pierce into the fungus, it goes as it falls backwards and collapses into a pile of bones. You need to hit 2 more shots, but 1 more shot's gonna make you start to feel tired.
Okay. So I just try again?
Yes, you can go hit on another skeleton.
Cool. Okay.
Oh my god.
All right.
I think that's hitting.
That's for sure hitting. Roll your damage. Jeez. Oh my god.
Oh my.
That is 23 damage. Another skeleton absolutely folds to your arrow. So, Nanette, you are going to take 1 point of exhaustion because you've made your 3 shots. You missed one of them. You can make another and it'll still count for your day.
Okay, I'll try to make another one.
All right. There's no disadvantage or anything.
Cool. I don't think I'm making it.
Okay. You roll me a D8 again. I like this. This is fun for me.
Oh, no.
This is fun for me. It's crazy.
This is fun for me.
That's crazy.
What'd you get?
For my entertainment.
Three.
Nanette, you feel as this skeleton is approaching you, you can sense exactly where it is. And this feeling alarms you to the point where you absolutely miss it. Like, you see it with your eyes, but you feel it in your soul, within your magic. It's like as if a radar is placed inside of your head and you hear ding, and you just whiff it.
Oh, weird.
And for the next hour, whenever another creature approaches within 10 feet of you, you can feel their location.
Heck? Oh my god.
Okay. Cool.
Alright, roll to hit, and hopefully you hit, otherwise you might have to take another point of exhaustion. That is going to be a what to hit?
16.
16 is going to hit the skeleton. You've completed your training for today.
That's another 23 damage.
Oh my god.
You shoot right through that fungus. It shoots into a shrieker right behind it. They both fucking explode. You see the shrieker goes to open its mouth. The arrow gets lodged in it. The fungus creature just goes, ah! Well, it falls into the shrieker's mouth.
Okay.
And that is the end of your day of training. And that is one more successful day for you.
Hooray!
Nice.
And
all right, enough of that.
You feel that soreness kind of work its way back into your arms. You feel that tiredness. You worked up a sweat because you were aiming so hard. And that is the end of Nat's thing. Adric, which book would you like to read now while Nanette was shooting?
Well, since it's kind of like training, I suppose, in a way. I'm gonna pull out Doan with that. Dope. How do you say that?
Oh, Malekith's Tome.
Yes, the tome.
Okay. And for reiteration, this is going to... If you read this, you will get the magical initiate feat. But it is gonna take some studying.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Then... Unlike Nanette's training, this is more of a battle against your intelligence, your mind. Keeping you on track, Adric.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't like the way you put this.
This training is a little bit more simple. It's not... I had a crackhead idea. Not going to do it.
God.
Shouldn't work that out in the middle of a session. So here's what I'll say. This might change later on, but for now, mm-hmm. I'm going to have you make some intelligence checks. You beat a 15 three times. You succeed the training day.
That makes sense.
And you will get exhaustion. It will just be like a more mentally exhausted thing. You kind of go cross-eyed. You don't want to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
So that was, I said DC 14?
So 15.
15? Let's change it to 14. 14 sounds fair to me.
My armor class.
Your armor class. So you just gotta hit yourself.
Gotta hit my brain.
Let me note this down. DC 14. Int. Alright. I'm not gonna say this is gonna be saving throws. It'll just be a check. So, roll me the first one.
Wonderful. I love it.
Oh.
You look at this tome before you, and the pages are a little yellow. They have, like, some stainage on them. Some of them are a little frayed at the seams. This book looks well-read, well-worn, and well-loved. You can see the effort in it. And in it being so well-loved, you get this intrusive thought about who owned this book before and who wrote all of this for me to read, or I wonder why they don't have the book. And it distracts you for a moment, and you kind of lose yourself while looking at...
That's a very good question. I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, you actually see, like, these sketches of how this flow of arcane magic works, and you just rub your finger along them, and just it occurs to you how beautiful this is.
That's really cool. Huh.
All right, but as you snap back into training mode, roll me another intelligence check.
Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be reading the book before the... Yeah. Focus. Oh, he's focusing.
Oh, he's focusing, yeah.
You focus up, and that is your first success. You look at this book, you see that there are, like, really complicated spells. Spells that you come to magic in this much more natural approach. You intuitively understand all of this. Well, you understand that Mako thinks about things the other way. And now you're seeing what he deals with through his eyes. You see that it's this complicated blend of weaving this magic into your own sort of thing. You have to weave and shape this mentally before you can expel it. It's this complicated equation going on before you.
That's real funky. But I think I see what they mean. Somewhat.
And you can roll that other one for me.
Lock in! He's locking in!
Ooh, locked in! So that's your second success. I will say, the next roll is going to give you exhaustion.
Let us hope. I'm still going to do it. Hopefully.
Yes. You peer into this book a little bit more, and you see more of this arcane weave before you. Things are still, like, out of sorts in your head. You don't understand the basic premises of it. But you feel as you slowly begin to get this admiration for this type of magic. And that interest really draws you in. It's almost fixating you. And roll me that last one.
Come on.
Lock in. Ah, just below the DC. You are going to get exhaustion. The exhaustion is, for the sake of this one, I'm going to say it. Normally, this would impede your focus and kind of cut it short. But I'll say that you can keep pressing on. You just have one point of exhaustion.
Let me set that beforehand.
All right.
There we go.
And roll me another intelligence check. And you very easily succeed. As you you feel as your eyes begin to, like, blur, as you're like, damn, what is going on here? This is different. Like, go on.
Yeah, I was like, what is... I mean, like, I know some magic, but some of this is kind of complicated.
This has you reflecting on how your magic works, and honestly, you know where your magic originates from. It's from that crest inside of you. You feel as this pulsating magic within you, you get to do whatever you envision. you get to bypass this need for perfection that wizards and alchemists need. You get to do whatever you want with your wild, flowing, surging power. But you also find the beauty in something that is well-constructed and well-thought-out. Something that is more streamlined and intellect-based. And in that sentiment, that's where your day of training... And this goes on for a while. You're reading for a while.
He's reading. He's studying. Like a little nerd.
Yeah, I'll say you even pull out a quill and you try to, like, break down some of these things. In your own understanding. As the day draws to an end, as your training sessions come to a close, that is going to end the first day of free time and this session.
Yay!